A prayer to Jesus. O merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I see you more clearly, follow you more nearly, love you more dearly, day by day, this Lent. Amen.
Amen.
All over the world, as the sun rose this morning, Christians were hearing the call of Lent. The first reading gives us a sound of that call. Return to me with all your heart. Rend your heart. Return to the Lord your God. Our aim as we prepare for these 40 days is to return to our God, who is gracious and compassionate. To have an aim gives us a greater chance of completing the course and arriving at the goal. Our goal is to see more clearly the love of our Lord Jesus Christ as he died for us, and the glory and power of his resurrection. Scripture tells us to fix our eyes on that goal. The goal will prove to be security in the love, healing, and saving power of God. Like an athlete with a goal in mind, we have to summon up our will and have a good intention to seek God's grace to give us wisdom concerning how to respond and what to do during Lent. The scriptural advice in our first passage is fasting, gathering together, and repentance. The good thing about fasting, if we miss a meal, for example, and give that time to God, is that it loosens the hold of food and the things of this world and helps us to humble ourselves. The good thing about gathering together is that we gather strength from one another to persevere in seeking God. There is both the secret personal move towards God and the things of the Spirit, and the communal move towards God, so we can encourage one another. These are essential aspects of Lent. But this evening, I want to get you excited about repentance, which is turning from our sins and turning back to God. One of the chaplains at my university wrote in the preface of his book about his experience as a boy in Wales. He and his friends had all been to their church for confession, and his memory was of them freewheeling on their bikes down the hillside together, swinging their legs and singing out in the sunshine, "Shriven, shriven, sins forgiven." It must have been a great moment. Forgiveness through confessing our sins to God privately or to one another gives a sense of the lifting of a burden and a new freedom to live. It is similar to, but more lasting and sustaining, to the joy we feel on a sun-drenched, flower-filled spring morning. That made the painful half an hour with a pen and piece of paper writing down what needed to be confessed worth it for those boys. For liberating forgiveness this Lent, we could spend time asking God to show us our sinful tendencies and where we habitually fall down in our love for him and others, that we might forsake self and return to his ways. Another inspiration to me is a book called Repentance and the Joy-Filled Life. There's a wonderful principle here that honestly facing up to ourselves as we are quiet before God leads to joy. Joy is not happiness, but it is a life-giving exhilaration which comes from following Jesus and accepting his grace to forsake and get rid of the darkness within and grow in his life and love. And so we come to our second reading. What happened to Peter shows how the end of all our striving during Lent is love. The love Peter experienced was not a passive noun, but a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what we are aiming for in Lent. Peter never lacked enthusiasm in following Jesus, and while this was a great asset, it also led him to show that his heart was not wholly with Jesus. You will remember that after declaring Jesus was the Messiah, he showed no comprehension of the cross. He was so far off course when he told Jesus not to go that way that Jesus rebuked him by calling him Satan. Now, as the events of the arrest and death of Jesus unfolded, that flaw in his character is exposed. Peter said he was prepared to fight and to die to save Jesus from his enemies. But as God's purposes were fulfilled, he found himself completely at a loss. His old self took refuge by the fireside, where the high priest's servants gathered. It was there that he met his great downfall and denied Jesus. He said, "I do not know the man." Perhaps you can see yourself in that position, taking refuge in physical comfort from the hard knocks of life and letting your weakness be exposed. I have. Instead, let us find comfort in the Word of God as we see ourselves in the lives of those portrayed in the Gospels and find our way back to Jesus. We see this way back in Luke's account very clearly. He puts it in three words: Jesus looked at Peter. In the film, The Passion of the Christ, Jesus, after scourging and bullying by the soldiers, was portrayed as having just one eye he could see from, for the other was battered, bruised, and swollen. That was the eye with which he looked at Peter. The account says, "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter." At that point, Peter became a broken man, as all the ideas which came from his sinful self were broken and shattered. He saw himself as he really was without Jesus, dirty, weak, double-minded, seeking his own glory. He did not brazen it out and go his own way. He broke. And as all the accounts tell us, he went outside and wept bitterly. There's no better example of true repentance I can think of. It came as a response to the loving look of Jesus as he died for us. My favourite saint, Charles de Foucault, also was broken of his selfish, sinful ways by going full of self to look at Jesus on the cross. He had no intention of giving his life to God because he had gone to church only to seek information. However, there at the cross, his earlier prayer, "My God, if you exist, make me know you," was profoundly answered. He was also broken and transformed. And what happened to these two penitent men? For Peter, we know that Jesus saw him on his resurrection day, first privately, and later on restored him before the others by asking three questions, all beginning with, do you love me? As Peter struggled to answer, Jesus gave him his commission: tend my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter's life was transformed by his deep repentance and his infilling with the love in the heart of Jesus. Life and healing then flowed through him as he preached and was used in healing, so that people put out their sick in the hope that the shadow of Peter would touch them as he passed by bringing healing from Christ. Peter truly became a servant of both the cross and the resurrection. He glorified God for the rest of his life. Similarly, Charles de Foucault, who lived a life in the desert, loving those around him, but seeing no followers joining him, loved Jesus and just simply followed him. Charles died to self and was martyred, and finally, from his life laid down like Jesus, sprang a community of men and women still in existence over 100 years later, loving Christ and loving the people around them in some of the poorest parts of the world. Such is the power and strength of repentance, which springs from letting Jesus look into our hearts and change them. That is what Lent is about. How do we let him look? Well, it is walking in the faith, in the old tried and tested ways of getting to know Jesus through our Bibles, our study, and our prayers at home. It means coming to join others in worship Sunday by Sunday. It means giving him time to speak to us and let his light shine in our hearts and transform our darkness. It means forgoing a meal or a TV program, perhaps setting aside a pleasure that we treasure and spending time with him. It means taking part in the opportunities church offers and the wider Christian community as well. It may mean humbling ourselves and going to someone to share our sinful habits and ask for grace to overcome them by receiving the healing forgiveness of Jesus. But whatever we choose to do as part of our rule of life this Lent, the aim is love. This is not a sentimental or manipulating love. No, it is the love of Jesus, our transformer, and love of others with his transforming love. As all the letters to the churches in the Bible teach, we love others because we have first received God's pure, cleansing, forgiving love. St. Paul explains a command to keep Lent better than I in his first letter to Timothy. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a simple faith. May we this Lent, through the grace of God, grow in love by seeking a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith as we reach out to Jesus Christ as those who choose to follow him, to be refined and to be changed. Amen.